Hello, 91.7 WHUS Stores. My name is Hank.
I'm Ted.
And this is the Hank and Ted Podcast.
Episode 9.
Yeah, it's going by fast. There's actually been a pretty heavy week, I think.
It's always a heavy week.
Yeah, but this one's like particular, I think, I don't know, maybe because I was in D.C.
Yeah, you were in it. I was story of the week, so.
I was in D.C. last week. I saw Bernie speak at the No Kings protest. And also, I didn't tell you this, but I saw Zelensky as well.
Really?
I saw his motorcade. He met with Trump last week.
You know, this is unrelated, but when I was like 10 years old, I was on, I don't remember what the highway is that goes around the outside of New York City, but I was on that highway and they stopped us so Obama could go eat dinner with Anthony Bourdain.
That's fire. I would have asked to join.
Like, it took me like an hour to like, we were just stuck for so long, and we saw his motorcade go by. He was maybe 30 feet away from us.
Did you see him?
No, because he's in, like, whatever the cars are. The bulletproof, like...
Yeah, the, like, limousine. Yeah. They're Fords, I think.
Yeah.
Ford Lincoln.
Yeah, like, $2 billion cars, yeah.
Yeah, but we saw it because we were on this street corner, and... there was like a group of people and a mm-hmm. group of policemen
mm-hmm.
and we're like, what are these people standing on the street corner for? And we see like 15 like police officers on motorcycles go by.
Wow.
And like a car, another one, and then we're like, this is like an important motorcade,
right?
And I don't know if like almost like senators don't got all that, so yeah. Like it has to be someone like crazy important. And then it was this like big Hummer, and it had the Ukrainian flag on it. And then the car after it, like, rolled the window down and took a photo of us.
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. We got photographed just, like, watching, like, us and, like, five more people that were just, like, watching
You're
us go
probably
by.
Gonna be in some, like, Ukrainian, like, news source.
Yeah.
Like, dumb Americans watch as our glorious president passes by. Something
yeah
like
so
that.
Some like Ukrainian official now has a photo of me just like standing on a street corner watching everything go by.
That's pretty awesome though.
Yeah,
I mess with that.
I didn't see any National Guardsmen actually,
you know, like being like a really that's because yeah. DC doesn't have that much crime.
Yeah, there was a lot of Secret Service.
Yeah, of course.
Which is surprising because they're not getting paid right now. They weren't like they were, like, the ones that are just police officers, but they have, like, the Secret Service badge.
Right.
It was just them, and they were just blocking off roads. Because also, it was a busy week. They had the Charlie Kirk, the Medal of Freedom.
They're awarding him. Did that?
Yeah, because it was his birthday.
I'm sorry, guys. He did not deserve the Medal of Freedom. No. Like.
But they had all that prepared. And then they had everything prepared for the protest.
Right.
They had, like, we went out the night before to the Capitol, and everything was already sectioned off, and there were already people standing watch.
How many people do you think were at the D.C. protest? Because you were there.
I saw afterwards on Twitter, the figure that people were throwing around was 200,000.
Wow.
I know for a fact that there were no arrests. There were no arrests in D.C. or in Austin. I'm not sure mm-hmm. about anywhere else, but in those two cities, there were zero arrests.
I believe the protests were largely peaceful. I don't think there were any arrests anywhere. We would have heard about it if there were.
Yeah, I don't, like, I think No Kings, like, the organizer said that there weren't any protests nationwide, but I don't think all of, like, the law enforcement has said anything yet. But yeah. Austin police said that there were no arrests made, and so did D.C. police.
I know that Boston and New York both had really large rallies.
Yeah.
I saw someone throwing around, like, they were, like, saying, like, actually, the Boston rally is from the Women's March in 2017. Even though the trees yeah. have leaves on them in the pictures from this weekend, and they don't, because in 2017, the Women's March was right before Trump went into office.
Yeah, it was January.
Yeah. So that argument fell flat immediately, and I found that kind of funny.
And also, people couldn't agree on a date. Some people were saying it was 2017. Some people were saying it was 2018.
Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Like
it's,
if you're going to lie, at least lie better. Like,
but so I was in the crowd. I went and I did some interviewing for the purposes of Hank and Ted. So that'll be up at some point. But It surprised me. The one MAGA guy that we found and interviewed was very nice to us. And he, like, I asked him, like, one of my questions was, like, can you, like, at all sympathize with any of the points that these protesters are making?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of just hit me with, like, the, not really. I mean, if he was a king, you wouldn't be having this protest. And I didn't get into it with him because there were people, like, actively accosting him.
Right.
Yeah, like, people were walking by and shouting, kill yourself. And then he kind of just, like, laughed it off.
Yeah.
Which I got on video, which is going to be pretty crazy.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that argument does not make any sense to me. Like, protests can still happen under a fascist leader. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, the fact that, like, our voices aren't being heard and that the leader just does whatever they want, which makes them fascist. Like,
he also, so we asked him, like, can you give us your name, like, spell your name, and then pronouns and age, and he only gave out his first name, and he asked, like, I'm only gonna give out my first name, is that okay?
Yeah,
which
I mean,
I would understand.
Do the same low-key.
Other people were fine giving out their full name.
Yeah, I mean, like, the people that weren't Trump supporters, I'm sure.
Yeah,
because they were there, and they were like, I saw something one of my, like, actually my old babysitter posted on his social media, like, y'all should be wearing masks if you're going to these protests. Like, the government definitely knows that you were there. Like,
it's,
be careful.
That's ridiculous.
Guys.
Like, it's, I think even calling it a protest is, it was more of a rally.
Yeah.
Especially in D.C. because they had
the speakers.
Mehdi Hassan, Bill Nye, Chris Murphy, Bernie. I only saw Bernie. I didn't see any of the others. I don't know if they were before. I guess we found our way to the stage towards the end of it, so I'm guessing we just missed the rest of it.
Yeah.
But, did hear Bernie and got some interviews around the Bernie stage while he was speaking. Everyone was very nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
Some people declined being interviewed, but they were really nice about it. They were very well spoken. Mm-hmm. I was expecting to go in there and everyone was just going to be like, yeah, Trump bad, and that's why I'm here.
Right.
But
that's probably what it would have been like if you went to the protest in Hartford. I feel like if you're going to the one in D.C. and you're close to the front of the stage, like, you're really there because you believe in what...
Yeah, but these are just people who, a lot of them were kind of just there by circumstance.
Mm.
A lot of them did live in the area, but also a lot of them weren't.
They had, like, a reason to be there that weekend.
Yeah.
Or
they were, like, the MAGA guy was there on a work trip. Like, he didn't live in D.C.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there for the protest. He just saw that it was happening and thought he'd check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We did also run into a guy who was running for Congress.
Oh, cool.
In Marjorie Taylor Greene's district.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he's a little crazy.
As a Democrat or opposing him as a Republican?
As an independent, I believe.
Interesting.
Yeah, he said that he, I don't want to disparage him because I really appreciate what he's doing, upseating mm-hmm. Marjorie Taylor Greene. He said that he got this idea in a dream. He had a dream that he was going to upseat Marjorie Taylor Greene,
mm-hmm.
and he formed a band on that streams on Spotify. It's called the Gaia Knights. G-A-I-A.
Wait, you interviewed this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. T.S. so tough.
Yeah, I don't know. But he gave me his business. I have his business card. Actually, like, I have it on me.
Holy.
Join the movement. Feel the beat. Our resistance has a soundtrack. GaiaKnights.com. And the photo, his, like, campaign photo is AI generated.
Oh.
Yeah, but you
is
know what?
Is Gaia spelled G-A-A-G-A-Y-A?
G-A-I-A.
Gaia.
Okay. Knights.com. So, oh yeah, here we go. So he was great. He gave a good interview. And I wish him all the best upseating Marjorie Taylor Greene because I just think it's time for her to go. And I think it was.
This is all AI generated.
Yeah, He loved his AI. He was just kind of giving stuff out.
Tantrum King.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was in, like, blow-up costumes.
Yeah. Okay, I drove through Hartford. I didn't get to, like, go to the protest because I overslept. But I drove through Hartford, and, like, I went there, like, 20 minutes after the protest had ended, so everyone was just lined up across the streets, like, holding up their signs and hoping cars honked at them. There were so many people in blow-up costumes. It was actually kind of ridiculous. Like, yeah. I was surprised at, like, how, like, everyone was smiling, though. Like, everyone was happy.
Oh, yeah, everyone was having a good time.
Like, I don't think, like, weirdly enough, I don't think people were taking it seriously.
They weren't.
Like,
which, well, they were in the extent of when I asked them why they were there, they had great answers.
Right.
But they were showing up in, like, you know, dressed as frogs, dressed in blow up like chickens. And it's because of something, it's because of another protest that happened where people, I think it was in Portland, people started dressing up as chickens.
Yeah, against the ICE protest. Yeah.
So that's the reason why everyone was doing that, but
it's like, kind of a ridiculous like method though.
I talked to this guy who was in a blow up unicorn costume.
I saw one of those.
And he was holding a bubble gun and just blowing bubbles everywhere. And the first thing he told me was like, well, I was protesting Vietnam 50 years ago. And then wow. He just kind of went into that. And I was like, I did not expect this from
a guy in a unicorn
costume. And a guy in a blow-up unicorn costume blowing bubbles at everyone. And he just started talking about protesting Vietnam in the 50s or the 70s.
That is awesome.
Right?
Like, that's just like, you know what? I take it back. That's aura. Like, 7-year-old man
is. Yeah, like
protesting Nam.
71, 72. And now he's here,
yeah,
doing it all over again.
But as a unicorn with bubbles.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. I don't know what else to say about that one.
I'm trying to think anything else crazy that happened in D.C. Yeah, I didn't see any National Guardsmen anywhere because, I mean, what are they going to... I feel like if you're going to put National Guardsmen in, like, the National Mall... Like, what are you doing? I feel like the National Mall has to be one of the safest places in this country because it's the national, it's like where all the famous sites are. Like, no one's committing a crime at the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, right.
Or the World War II, the Vietnam Memorial.
Yeah.
Or the White House. Like, I just didn't understand it. And even downtown D.C. Downtown D.C. is one of the cleanest cities in America.
D.C. is such a nice city.
It's so clean.
Like,
it's like, It's just a great place. It's very safe. People were just... we were in Arlington. That's where our B&B was.
Yeah.
Arlington, the suburbs of Arlington were also incredibly
Arlington.
Nice.
My aunt and uncle used to live in Arlington. No longer. Because they are no longer federal employees. I don't know. Like,
were they around the cemetery?
I don't know.
We were like a street over from the cemetery.
I know that they had like 2 acres and they grew like fruits in their yard.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they made jam with them. They were
locked
in.
That's
great. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
They're no longer federal workers?
No, they quit like pretty close to the beginning of Trump's second term because
they knew it was going to happen.
They knew that they were going to get fired, so they're like, "You know what? We'll take the severance pay."
Yeah.
That's what like a few hundred thousand federal employees did, which is crazy.
What are they doing now? Just
I believe they both work part-time. Like, they were close to retirement. They had been in the Park Service for, like, 30-plus years both.
Yeah,
so, like, they have their pension. Like, they're fine. But they're both working part-time at, like, some garden in Pennsylvania. I don't know.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for them. I mean, yeah, it's taking, like, quitting your job in anticipation is, like, that's so horrible.
Right? Like, I don't know. It's just wild to think about, like, so much has happened in the first 10 months of this term that, like, that feels like a long time ago to me, and it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Okay. What else going on? Oh, this is a story that I had written down while I was in class. So, I included 2 articles. So, in mid-September, Trump, I guess the administration released a list of demands to a bunch of different schools. Let's see if I can find the list. I know it's in here somewhere. Okay. University of Arizona, University of Texas at Austin, Vanderbilt University, Dartmouth College, University of Virginia, and then additionally, Arizona State, Washington University in St. Louis, and then University of Kansas. And I think the three original ones were MIT, Brown, UPenn, and USC.
So all the woke schools.
Yeah. And essentially, they released just a letter of demands for these schools for holding tuition flat for 5 years, providing data on international students to the government, requiring schools to accept the government's definition of gender and apply it to campus bathrooms, locker rooms, and women's sports teams, and just a bunch of other tense topics in this country. And that comes from NPR.
So basically what we're doing is, as of today, any woke school is now conservative school.
I'm not sure what's going to happen after today, because this is just the deadline for them to
agree,
accept, which
they're not going to.
Some of the schools, as of right now, Brown, UPenn, and USC have already declined.
Yeah, I mean, like, what can they do to stop this? Like, on a federal level, like, they can just threaten them more, I guess, but, like...
But these are huge institutions.
They're huge institutions, and they're also, like, I don't know, they're good for our country. Like, why would we limit them? Like, long-term, even if they're woke, in quotation marks, like, these are research institutes. We need them
and
for technological advancements. Like,
some of these demands also just violate laws that we have already. Like, providing data on international students to the government, depending on, I don't know what they mean by data. If they mean, like, school records, that's illegal, under FERPA. And I'm not sure if gender and stuff also is included under FERPA. I mean, it should be. But if that's included, then that's also illegal, because you go to college and you identify as a different gender. That's technically an educational record.
Yeah.
Which is protected. So that just completely violates FERPA.
Actually, like, if Trump wants it, he can have it, because he's in charge of everything. He's not president. He's king.
That's true. According to Stephen Miller, he has plenary authority. That's, like, my favorite video right now. I love that he...
The president can use plenary...
So, for those who don't know, Stephen Miller was on an interview with CNN where he openly declared that President Trump has plenary authority, which plenary is a Latin word for absolute.
And yeah.
Plenary authority is just a... I don't know what it's guaranteed by, but there are certain things that the government has plenary authority over, which is just absolute rule. So, like, only Congress can declare war normally, that kind of thing.
Yeah, plenary authority, like, means, like, any of the limits that the president technically has, like, he no longer has. So, like, yeah. If he were to be like, you know what, like, we hate Palestinians, he could deploy troops without, like, a second question from Congress if he had plenary authority. However, but he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to keep going on with Stephen Miller.
Yeah. Stephen Miller, like, I'm sure whatever the take is that, like, oh, Stephen Miller is different from Trump, so he can't speak for Trump. Like, he just believes that, and he has different views.
He is the architect
for
everything domestic, not everything domestically, but a lot of domestic policy issues, most notably immigration. Stephen Miller is the architect for the immigration plan of this administration.
You want to know what's so crazy about all the stuff going on with immigration in our country? So far, Trump has deported less people in his first 10 months than Biden had.
Yeah, even like, they still the suck.
It's
yeah.
the means of doing it is what's making everyone freak out. Like, I saw a statistic today that over 170 American citizens have been detained by ICE in the last yeah. 10 months. I don't think I ever heard about an American citizen being detained or arrested by ICE ever before this.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's or just like...
The one woman who was deported with her two American children.
Yeah.
Like, that like, wouldn't have happened.
No, it wouldn't have. She would have been given asylum, probably.
And it's also because they're trying so hard to reach these goals and limits. Like, it was Christine Holm and Stephen Miller both met with top ICE agents back in May.
Mm-hmm.
And demanded Christine Holmes, that they
DHS, so.
Yeah. And demanded that they get their numbers up to 3,000 per day, 3,000 migrants detained or deported a day.
So over a million a year.
Yeah. For the next 4 years.
For the next 4 years. That's not going to happen,
and
for the record.
The bottom 10% that don't make that will get fired immediately.
Yeah. I mean, like, to be honest with you, if I were in ICE right now, I would not be worried about my job security. Like, you're basically Gestapo. Like, they're not going to fire you, to be honest with you.
And, like, why are we putting Stephen Miller in charge of this? Like, he's so clearly just a Nazi.
No, bro. That's a strong word,
and
okay?
I'm not using that. Okay. His former classmates
yeah.
have all said that he would bully Latino students simply for being Hispanic. There was an editor.
Well, maybe he was just making jokes, so.
This is really funny. There was an editor for Breitbart
yeah.
who got fired for being too racist at Breitbart, which is crazy, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then she reformed her views and became a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I don't remember when this happened or in what news source. It might have been like the New York Times or something. She dropped an op-ed that was basically, Stephen Miller is a white supremacist. I know because I was one too. Where she just like detailed their relationship. And she also provided emails
yeah.
where Stephen Miller was quoting, I forget what book it was, but it was a book where it's like an alternate history fiction where right. America gets taken over by Indians and they're called turd eaters.
Yo.
Let me find it. It's like every like big white supremacist is really into this book. The Camp of Saints.
Oh God!
It's this, and Stephen Miller brings this book up a lot.
Of course he does.
And so does Steve Bannon. Okay. They both love like their white supremacist literature.
Well, like listen, like they're not white supremacists. They just have their own ideas. Okay. Not to be devil's advocate, but I think it's actually good when America is only white and it's not a melting pot. Like. We need to get Irish people out of here, too. And yeah. those Italian people, they need to go.
You need to pass your citizenship test, which is now exponentially harder.
Yeah. They all need to, like, know everything about America and how we hate communism here. And how, actually, like, it was really cool when Christopher Columbus, like, killed a bunch of people. And, like, I don't know, bro. Like, I've been seeing a lot of people call, like, Donald Trump a Nazi. Like, just because he surrounds himself by people who don't necessarily like anyone that's white or that isn't white, like, does that really make him a Nazi? That just means that, like, he likes people that are maybe Nazi adjacent. And what's wrong with that? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool.
Isn't it so awesome that we have Trump's right-hand man who is straight up like Richard Spencer said that they used to be really good friends in college. This Richard Spencer, the guy that like even right wingers agree is a Nazi. And he was out here like, yeah, no, me and Stephen Miller go way back all the way to college.
Bro, it's just like it's so out in the open now. And like there's so much deny, 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 goalpost, goalpost, goalpost yep. on the right wing right now. Like that, like they can get away with almost anything. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, you had. Who was it during the Charlie Kirk funeral? Was it Trump who quoted Joseph Goebbels.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Do you know what I'm talking? It was someone who, I think it was Trump's speech, that like, it wasn't an exact quote, but it was incredibly similar when he was talking about immigrants.
GOP rep in 2025. I don't see anything about the Charlie Kirk speech though.
Let me see if I can find this.
I just, like, we're so at that point where, like, it's not about, like, if they're Nazis or not. It's about how we stop them. Like, it's more about, like, convincing the American people that, like, maybe it's good when we actually, like, make things cheaper instead of, like, blaming other people for it. Like, I don't think there's any, like, way that America can dig itself out of this grave unless, like, the Democratic Party, like, changes things up and goes with more of a populist approach. Because, like, I just see us continuing to go right otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, populism, progressive populism is having a win in New York City.
It sure is.
Which is good. Oh, yeah,
we can talk about that
because that happened over the weekend, Friday, Saturday. Was before.
It was either Saturday or Thursday. It was one of the two because I was watching clips when I was walking home from work.
Yeah.
So I think it was Thursday.
I think my favorite takeaway, first of all, Curtis Lewa got shot a lot, which I didn't know.
Yeah. How many times has Curtis Lewa been shot, bro?
He said five.
He said he was smoking weed after he got shot five times, but I think he said another time. Other stories when he's been shot too.
There was another time where he said he got shot in the back of a taxi.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that was the same incident as him getting shot five times, but he's been shot many times.
You know, like, can we have more, like, Curtis Lewa, like, Republicans, please? Like,
yeah, and he, like,
he doesn't like Trump. He doesn't like Cuomo. He doesn't like Mamdani, but he also recognizes that he wants to help the people.
Yeah, he, like, they're on the same, like, they're actually populist.
Yeah.
They're not the Trump populism, where it's just, you know, like, we're going to do this for you, but we're also going to cut taxes on the rich.
Yeah.
And we're going to widen the wealth gap.
Well, Trump is like a fake populist. Like, he yeah. says that well, he's yeah, going to make things better, but he doesn't actually do anything to
he
make
ran,
anything
it's,
better.
It's the greatest con of the 21st century, running as a populist.
Yeah.
Every president has done that.
Well, right.
But Trump did it in a
Trump
like,
did it in a way that's never been done before, though.
Trump did it in a way that actually fooled a lot of basically every Republican.
Yeah, Trump has become like the greatest con man of all time. He conned his way into presidency twice.
Yeah, because like, at least Obama did the same thing. But at least he did.
He did some things to make things better for people.
Like legalizing gay marriage. That's a huge thing that everyone supported. Virtually everyone supported.
Yeah.
And he got that done.
Yeah.
So even if he just did that, that still leagues better than what Trump has done.
Hey, bro, but, like, have you considered the fact that we need to deploy National Guard troops in Chicago?
Into Portland as of an hour ago?
Yeah, then we can talk about that.
The 9th District, or the 9th Circuit, basically approved.
Appeals court. Yeah. They approved Trump to deploy, I think it's just the Oregon National Guard as of now,
yeah,
into Portland, even though Portland has been facing less and less crime over the last 10 months.
Let's see Portland.
I was actually watching a story about this today where crime is down like 60% in the last like year, and Trump is still like saying like, it's a war zone, it's the worst you've ever seen. And it's like, bro, like, you can't just call any Democratic city a war zone just because you don't like them. Like, that's just cap, bro.
Crime trend report.
There you go.
Let's do shootings. So, like, I mean, yeah, in the past year, here we go, year to date. So, it spiked in 2022.
Yeah.
But since then,
that makes
it has
sense
gone,
post-COVID, low-key.
Yeah, it has. It went up during COVID, but since then it has gone down, essentially back to normal.
It's about pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah.
A little higher, but it's on the way down still.
Yeah.
So I just don't, like, it's hard to, like, comprehend the arguments that are being put out there because they're so nonsensical now. Like, all of the reasoning for deploying the National Guard is, like, oh, like, it's a dangerous city, right? But then, like, every time they deploy the National Guard, it's in, like, a city that's getting drastically safer.
Yeah, like, and even then, they don't stop and think about why it was violent.
Right.
Which, in most circumstances, it's, there's a global pandemic that just happened.
Right.
And people are losing their jobs, losing their homes. They're losing, you know, they're losing family members.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are going to turn to violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they immediately jump because they want to scapegoat brown people and black people.
Yeah, because I mean, definitely, because, like, if you look at any of the cities in the South that are also somehow red states, which has nothing to do with this, obviously, like, Trump's not deploying anyone to any city that is more dangerous than Oregon or, like, I don't know, Chicago. Like, there's just, like, so much, like, let's put pressure on them, let's put pressure on them, let's put pressure on them before, like, I feel like the standard, like, American doesn't even realize that it's only happening in Democratic cities. Like, there are so many more cities that are so much more dangerous than, like, any of the cities that we're targeting.
Yeah, like, the only argument that I can see for deploying National Guard is that they can be like, oh, the gang violence is too high in Chicago.
Well, that's actually a somewhat valid argument, unfortunately.
It is, but the solution to that is not, let's go in there and brandish guns and scare them.
Yeah, this is the argument that I always have. It's like, does more weapons make things better? And the answer is no.
Like, imagine if they went into, if they deployed the National Guard into, like, New York City in the 70s because the Italian mafia was getting too prominent. Like, that would, everyone across the aisle would be like, what are you doing? Well, because it's, like, Chicago. They're like, eh, well.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're just, like, beyond the point of, like, oh, yeah, like, this is good, this is bad. It's, like, does this help my guy or does this help your guy? Yeah.
Or, and I think in a lot of the instances of deploying the National Guard, it does also have to do with racism.
No.
Are you, let's deploy the National Guard to these areas that are very much minority driven. Because, but despite making up 13% of the population, and I'm not going to finish that.
They're evil.
They make up 50% of the crime.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, or I'm sure.
Like, there's also, like, oh, we're deploying the National Guard because the people are making it hard to have ICE raids. And it's like, well, everyone's allowed to make ICE raids harder. Like, that is within their rights. Like,
yeah,
people are angry at, like, the mayor of Chicago for making it illegal for ICE to do raids in public spaces, but, like, that is within his rights. Like, he can make it so ICE isn't allowed to operate in public spaces.
Yeah, it's not the police.
They are not the police. They are a federal organization that is different from the police. Like, bro,
they see people with, like, bulletproof vests and guns, and they're like, well, they must have a right to be here.
Wait.
Like, what? If I put on a bulletproof vest and brandish a gun in Chicago, what's going to happen to me?
You're going
to
get shot.
Killed instantly.
Well, that's, actually, it's because, like, you're dangerous, okay?
Yeah, and actually, these gangs that have been around for 30, 40 years and have become just a part of life in Chicago,
yeah,
you can just solve all of them by just sending the National Guard in. And they're going to be like, man, I realize now, my gun's smarter than your gun, so therefore, I shouldn't have gun.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what happened in Palestine, guys. Like, as soon as Israel started invading, like, all the Palestinian fighters, they just gave up.
Oh, I see now. We're inferior because we're brown.
Dude.
And Muslim.
Dude. How did you not get it before? What the fuck?
I mean, damn. Ben Shapiro, I get it. I understand.
Ben, come on the pod.
I was watching that clip of, it was like back when Ben was huge.
Yeah. He's like low-key small now.
16,
no one cares about Ben
Shapiro.
Yeah,
like he had his one moment where he was like, I'm going to go out onto college campuses for Charlie Kirk, my friend. He was like, oh, he went on Bill Maher afterwards and was like, I don't understand what could have led to this.
Maybe like, your rhetoric, bro.
Yeah. I was watching this video of him in like 2017 where he was like, he literally said verbatim, not verbatim, but he was like, Muslims are violent. It's in their culture. It's in their religion.
Bro, like, I scroll on Twitter now and I see like a Nancy Mace tweet, and every time it's like, you are Muslim. And that's her whole argument as to like why this person is wrong.
Like,
it's like, bro, you are just racist. Like, what?
Right-wing extremism has committed more violent crime than both left-wing extremism and Muslim extremism combined.
No, no, no. That's the fake news media getting to you. You don't understand. When Charlie Kirk died, that was the biggest event in American history. There has never been a political assassination before Charlie Kirk. Okay, like when Charlie Kirk got shot, he was actually the first guy to ever get shot for his political beliefs. It's never been done before. Like, have you ever heard about like JFK? Like, apparently there was an attempt on his death, but he didn't die. So like, that doesn't count. Like,
it's like when they burned down the Reichstag. And I mean, they kind of just had to be like, well, Hitler, do your thing. Because someone burned down the Reichstag. You're not allowed to do that.
Dude, protest, you can't do that. Whatever your government says, you just have to follow what they do. Otherwise, you are not being an upstanding American citizen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, one more quick thing about Ben Shapiro. The guy who shot up Christchurch looked at his Twitter account 90 times in the weeks leading up to the shooting. So when Ben Shapiro says, I don't know what could have led to this, yes, you do. You definitely knew that guy was stalking your Twitter before he killed 50 Muslim men or 50 Muslim people.
Wow. That's wild, actually. Yep.
So Ben Shapiro, you know what you're talking. You know what you're saying. You know exactly what you're doing. So maybe it's a good thing that he fell off.
Yeah, but there's always like, it's like you like get rid of one of them and then three others spawn in. Like, even if he fell off, like, we got like all the annoying heads. Joe Rogan is basically like evil now too.
Yeah, well, Joe Rogan's like too dumb.
He's just dumb. He's like too evil, stupid. But he's stupid.
Joe Rogan is too stupid to be a Ben Shapiro. Like, he doesn't have that Harvard Law training.
Candace Owens is still really bad, even though she's anti-Israel. She's anti-Israel because she's anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
So like, she's pretty bad too.
And well, she's smaller than Ben Shapiro.
She's bigger now.
Really?
She is like one of the top 10 most listened to podcasts.
Did you see that? Oh, I think this happened in the past week. Somebody uploaded all of Nick Fuentes' podcasts.
He's huge too.
He hit number one on Spotify for podcasts.
Oh, nah.
And it wasn't even him who uploaded them. It was some other dude who just downloaded them and then uploaded them on Spotify for him. And he hit number one on podcasts like instantly.
Bro, we're so cooked.
It's
that's
over.
Another Nazi right there, bro.
And that's not even like, this is how bad we're at. We have to like differentiate, like, these guys are Nazis, but you can't really say that.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, well, just because I agree with all of their takes. And then there's Nick Fuentes.
He's like,
even everyone on the right, like the Nazis that are on the right who don't call themselves Nazis, look at Nick Fuentes and they go, damn, look, yeah, this dude loves Hitler.
Praise Jesus.
Like, what is Nick Fuentes and Charlie Kirk not have in common besides Nick Fuentes will go out openly and say the Holocaust didn't happen?
Well, there's like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, people try to like just go over the Holocaust happening, and then people say it doesn't happen. And when they go over it and they pretend it didn't happen, it's different from like denying. Even though they're basically the same thing. Like, when people have knowledge about it happening,
yeah,
and they like refuse to acknowledge it, it's like the same thing. Like,
also all that they do, like, I get the only differences between like the right wing pundits and Fuentes is that the right wing pundits, they will listen to what the public says.
Well, they have to.
Yeah.
So like, they care about power.
Common consensus obviously is that the Holocaust was bad.
Yeah.
But if right wingers tomorrow suddenly started doubting that in mass, not that they're not already, but like in mass, they would immediately turn on and say, well, let's look at the facts here.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, if we do a better job in America of educating people and like making them understand historical events, then like a lot of the issues we have wouldn't actually happen anymore. Like, this is why there's such a push to have such a bad education system in America from the conservatives. Like, that's why we have Linda McMahon as our school executive.
Which, like, what is it? Let me see her resume.
Bro, she's the wife of Vince, the greatest, worst McMahon. Person of all time. Like, what? Like, come on.
He founded he didn't found WWE. His dad founded WWE, and then he inherited it.
Yeah.
Which means that
he's gotten kicked out, like, three times, too.
Yeah, he has crazy allegations.
Yeah.
Same with just like Cuomo, for real.
He kind of is like Cuomo. They probably know each other.
Oh, I'm sure. They all know each other.
McMahon probably like gave him a lot of money, if we're being honest.
I mean, WWE's in Stanford.
It's pretty close.
So that's like right. Yeah. It's New York. It's right there.
That is low key. Like Stanford, like Connecticut, low key should be inherited by New York, if we're being honest. Like,
I think it can be included in just the greater New York area.
Yeah. I guess that's why we're the tri-state area.
Yeah, that also includes, like, Newark and all that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But, like, I don't know, bro. Like, it is crazy to think about, like, we're so distracted with culture wars that we're not focusing on, like, oh, wait, the Ten Commandments are going to be up in Oklahoma schools now.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, like, what happened to separation of church and state? Like, schools are state.
But did you know that God was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence 5 times?
It's not specific to any god, though. Like, you just rage baited me, even though, like, I'm not even, like, bro. I know you're rage baiting, but that still got me.
No, that was, it's a Charlie, that was Charlie Kirk's number one talking point against people who said that America's a secular nation.
Okay, but how is it supposed to say that, like?
It didn't say Allah, it says God.
Right.
What does God mean in English?
What does God mean
in or what is God what is Arabic? What is God in Arabic? And what is Allah in English?
Shut up. I don't like your facts.
One nation under Christianity God. One nation under Jesus Christ.
It doesn't say Jesus Christ. That's the thing. It says God. Like,
so that can be
That
can be Judaism, that can be Buddha, that can be
that could be Buddhism. Like, who cares, bro?
Yeah, like, I don't, it's such semantics.
It's one nation under God, indivisible, which means we can't be divided by anything, with and liberty also, and justice for all. Like, bro, God is not the only word in that sentence, too. Even if you're making that argument. Like, what are we saying, bro?
It also, the first three words are, we, the people. We the people, not you. You can't be like we the people, but not these people, because they're not really American.
Yeah, the whole point of America is that we came together to fight against an occupational government, right?
The Statue of Liberty is white, and it's only for white people.
Did you know that the slaves actually fought in the Revolutionary War?
Only 1% of Southerners had slaves. Did you know that? And they were treated very well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Bro, this episode is just a rage bait episode.
My.
Oh, God.
No, but that's how... And also, like, going back to the... We're so focused on culture war stuff. Like... Andrew Cuomo resigned in disgrace.
Right.
For being a predator.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he's not going to win, but like, he's up there.
Well, like, this is the whole Trump thing. He's a Trump-like figure. He just doesn't have the riz.
Yeah.
Like.
Was he on the island? I mean, he probably knew.
Cuomo? Definitely.
He definitely at least knew we're close with people.
Real quick, I want to jump back to the shutdown. Mike Johnson still hasn't sworn in the new member of Congress.
Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona. Yeah. She would be the last vote to release the Epstein files. It's been 27 days since she won her election. Almost a month. And she's not sworn in. What is in those files, bro?
It's going to say that Trump was not... He wasn't just a client. He was helping organize it.
Well, okay. I have two opinions on this at this point. I think they're more worried about the global implications. I think that, like, a lot of world leaders were on the island. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many of those world leaders are in power. Because I know that the former prime minister of Israel is on it.
Yeah.
Prince Andrew was on it, but, like, we already know that. And, like, he's already been canceled for it. Yeah. Bill Clinton, he's not doing anything anymore.
Yeah, but, like, bro, like, I think it's more than that. I think it's, like, people from all over the world, not just American allies. Like,
oh, yeah, probably.
I think it's, like, in a lot of ways, it was going to be used as blackmail for the American government.
But I definitely also, Trump wasn't just a client.
Oh, no.
He was supplying. He was behind. Epstein's, was it his building manager who stole the black book?
Yeah.
And he circled names that weren't, like, they weren't just clients. They were people who were, like, helping to facilitate this ring.
Yeah.
Trump was circled. Bill Clinton wasn't. But we still know that he was
a pedophile.
Yeah, that he was doing that. Yeah. So that means that Trump allegedly could have been doing stuff much worse, like supplying girls from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. So speaking about Trump, today they started tearing down the East Wing
in
the White House room for a $250 million ballroom. Because the White House needs a ballroom now.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about, like, it being practical? I don't know. Like, the East Wing was built in 1902, right?
Yep.
When Teddy Roosevelt was in office. Like, that is 125 years of history just gone just because we want Trump to have a glorious ballroom. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, there's a photo of them knocking it down. It is crazy.
Bro, like, it's the White House.
They're not even doing renovations.
Part of the White House.
They're straight up just knocking down part of the White House to rebuild it. And it's probably going to be ugly.
Oh, you know it's going to be ugly. Trump got no taste, bro.
Look at, like, the...
Have you seen the Rose Garden?
Yep.
The Rose Garden is just like a concrete, like, platform now.
The Oval Office with all the gold in there.
Gold is good. It means you're wealthy.
Like, I didn't realize how much it had changed until I saw... It was a photo of, I think, a Trump meeting with Zelensky, or, like, Trump meeting with Zelensky versus Biden meeting with Zelensky.
Yeah.
And Biden, the Oval Office, was, like, so normal looking.
Yeah.
And then Trump's was just, like, there's gold on the mantle, and there's gold things everywhere, and the seats are gold. And it's, like, oh, my God, what are we doing?
Bro, like, what? Yeah, exactly. What are we doing?
How much in taxpayer money was spent procuring all of that?
So much.
If it's real gold...
So much.
It's cooked.
People are probably going to be like, oh, it was Trump's. No, it wasn't.
No. Like, what?
Trump doesn't have anything. I was having this argument with someone yesterday. Like, Trump is not a successful man. Like, all of his money comes from being a scam artist. Like, that's it.
Yeah. He has billions in property.
And he also has hundreds of millions in debt.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason he has money is because he continues to, like, scam people out of it.
Like, how, like, his net worth is high, but how much of that is, like, actual, like,
assets. Liquid? Yeah.
Like, how much money does he have in the bank right now that he can go out and spend? It's probably not that much. Like, you get your salary as president is a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's getting millions from AIPAC and all the other lobbies.
Okay. AIPAC is really cool, though. Have you ever considered that, like, America needs to represent Israelis, like, because we have so many Jewish people? Like, AIPAC is the greatest organization in American history. It's better than, like, anything that's actually, like, helped people out, like Planned Parenthood. Like, Planned Parenthood is actually bad. Like,
true.
It's more like AIPAC is just awesome. Like, it's great when foreign governments just, like, decide things for us. Like, I actually think it's good that AIPAC is the reason that the genocide continues to happen.
And if you vote Andrew Cuomo, first thing he'll do is visit Israel. Didn't he say that in the first debate?
He did. Like, because, like, it was, like, where would the first place you visit be after
you're inaugurated?
And, like, Mamdani said, like, I'll stay right here in New York. And, like, a few other people said, like, similar things. Or, like, they said, like, they'd go to, like, I don't know, a different, like, part of New York because of the five boroughs. And, like, Cuomo's like, I'd go to Israel. It's like, bro, that is not New York, bro. How does that help New York? What are you doing?
So that is not...
That is not in the continental United States.
Like, the sixth borough just dropped. Tel Aviv.
Bro, like, my goat Andrew Cuomo is so washed, guys.
He's so washed. My goat is Curtis Sliwa.
You know, like, after, like, watching some of the clips from that debate...
I have mad respect for him.
I'm 100% serious. Even if Mamdani lost, I'd be okay if Sliwa was mayor. Like,
it'd be funny.
It would be funny. Like, I don't even believe in any of his policies. I just think that, like, he genuinely wants to help the people of New York. Like, that's what it seems like.
And he won the debate.
He did not win the debate.
What, have you seen the reel he posted? Where he's like,
Cuomo, everyone's drop out.
Everyone's in agreement. Sliwa won the debate. And then he plays, like, two clips of Mamdani and Cuomo both saying, I agree.
No, that's awesome. I like that.
I got shot 5 times and I used medical marijuana.
Guys, did you know that Zoran is haram because he smoked weed?
Yep.
Actually, I think that's actually debated on.
He's still...
Even if that's haram or not.
Yeah, it depends.
Because, like, it's supposed to, like, not change your mental state, right? But, like...
And also, people in the Middle East smoke hashish all the time.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah. Well, people in the Middle East also probably secretly drink all the time, but like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's the social norm, you know?
What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, even if Cuomo dropped out and all of his... Or if Sliwa dropped out and all of his supporters went to Cuomo, he still wouldn't win.
Yeah, no, it's like...
He's polling at like 13% right now,
it's Sliwa. It's like 80% of Sliwa voters would have to go to Cuomo for Cuomo to win. And I don't think that would happen, to be honest.
I don't think, because Cuomo's at like 49%.
I think he's like the projection. No, Cuomo's at like 30-something.
Really? I thought after the debate went up.
No, Cuomo didn't go up at all.
Or no, not Cuomo, Mamdani.
Yeah, Mamdani's at 49.
Yeah, which like...
So like, literally like 85% of Sliwa's voters.
I think that would have to be 100. Because it's still not going to add up to 100.
Yeah, because people will write things in and stuff. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think there's a solid chance Mamdani goes over 50%, which is wild. I kind of hope Sliwa overperforms and comes in second.
If he keeps on this track, like, now he's actually gotten his name out there.
Yeah.
And people, like, know, like, oh, this guy's doing stuff.
This guy, like, got shot 5 times for us, so, like, we should...
He loves getting shot, and he hates the Central Park 5.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pretty sure. Wait,
does he think they did it?
I think so.
They did not do that shit, guys. This is my hot take. In the big 2025, the Central Park 5 did not do it. Hey, that's something him and the president can agree on, that the Central Park 5 did it.
Yeah. Or maybe he didn't. I don't know. I saw a tweet about it, but I didn't look it up further. But it sounds like something that he would say.
We are coming up on the end here. I want to talk about how, oh, surprise, surprise, the ceasefire has not held up, guys. I don't know who could have seen this coming, but last night Israel launched over 100 different bombs.
But it's not violating the ceasefire. Gaza. They're testing it.
What does that mean?
Who said that? What? Some outlet said that they were testing the ceasefire, and everyone on Twitter started clowning on them.
Like, testing as in, like, we're going to bomb you and then hope you don't bomb us back? Or something?
Let's see. Was it BBC?
It was probably BBC. BBC loves...
Oh, it was AP.
AP is supposed to be good, bruh.
Yeah.
So Israel officially resumed the ceasefire, apparently.
It says aid will restart Monday.
Bro, like, how can they just decide, like, when the ceasefire works and what it doesn't, bro? Like, how is Hamas, like, violating the ceasefire at all? You know Ben-Gavir?
Yeah.
Ben-Gavir was like, now that we have the hostages back, we can bomb them as much as we want. It's like, bro.
My word.
You can't just be out in the open with this. Like, you can, like, maybe be like, oh, yeah, like, we hate the Palestinian people. But, like, bro, you can't just be like, we're going to kill them all now that we have our people back. Like, what? What are we doing, bro?
So, okay. So, Trump says ceasefire still in place after Israeli strikes. However, apparently, Trump said, we're going to eradicate Hamas if the ceasefire doesn't go through.
Wait, so they're just threatening. Like, they're literally like, you cannot respond to us. We are going to bomb you whenever we want to bomb you.
But if you bomb try to us,
respond, the ceasefire doesn't hold and we're going to eradicate you.
We're going to send U.S. troops in.
Holy shit, bro.
This is a very violent group of people, and they've got very rambunctious, and they did things that they shouldn't be doing. And if they keep doing it, then we're going to go in and straighten it out. And it'll happen very quickly and pretty violently, unfortunately. We're going to eradicate Hamas. It's a direct quote from Trump.
That's beautiful. Thank you, President Trump.
It'll happen very quickly and pretty violently, unfortunately.
Jesus Christ. The pro-peace president, bro.
Yeah, the pro-peace ticket being like, if this war resumes and you start bombing, even if you didn't start it, we're going to go and commit more genocide.
Yeah, well, to end things on a lighter note, you got anything fun happening in your life, you know?
Keep an eye out for the interviews dropping for Hank and Ted. They're going to be crazy.
Dude, they're going to be so lit. They're going to drop on the Hank and Ted pod on Instagram. If you would like. Upload it
on YouTube.
Yeah. We can create that channel.
Yeah.
If you would like, you can follow us there, Hank and Ted pod on Instagram.
We just uploaded our first reel.
Bro, it's big. 20 something likes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
My parents followed the account.
Oh, no. That's pretty great.
Oh, it's horrible. If you want to shoot us an email, you can email us at hankandtedpod@gmail.com. Send us questions, things you want us to cover, anything of the sort, people we should have on. Yeah. You got anything else, Hank?
Just keep an eye on our socials for that dropping. And, yeah, that's about it.
Go Huskies. We're 5-2 in football. We're tough.
We also just won in hockey.
Yeah, we're good in hockey. Both the men's and women's teams are ranked. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
We're genuinely the best sports school in the country. I don't care what people say. Almost every one of our sports end up.
That's the hottest take we've ever said on this show.
No, it's not. That is the coldest take. UConn is the greatest sports school in the country, guys. Husky mentality, okay? As Dan Hurley says. How many natties do you guys have out there? That's all I'm saying. Our women's basketball team has 12, okay?
Anyways, you're listening to WHUS Stores. My name is Hank.
I'm Ted.
This has been Hank and Ted, and we will see you next week or whenever that video drops. So get hyped.